All right, we are back on air. This is, of course, Saki Bamagogo. My name is Matt. With me, as always,
Promi.
And we are happy to be back for another week of insanity. Boy, you know, I do another show. It's called Slow Robot A Go Go. It's you can find it on the web. It does B movie reviews. It's out of nowhere this week. Total noob screw up. I'm talking into this microphone, but the webcam mic had taken over without me knowing it.
Wow.
And so it sounds like I'm recording in a tin can. The audio level's fine. It just sounds very tinny. And that's why, I don't know if you saw before I started, I pulled down this microphone to double check. Now I have to double check every time to make sure that the condenser mics are picking up and you're hearing our melodious voices as they should be, not in a tin can. And as I put it up, I was like, man, yeah. Since I've been doing this since 2006 and you still get, it gets you. You know,
you should have labeled that as the tin can episode.
I know.
Ugh. In honor of the inventor of the first tin can telephone, I will be doing this with my mic, but with a Campbell's soup can on one end with a piece of string connected to a Green Giant can of on
See,
the
I
other
should
end,
just
yeah.
lie better.
Yeah.
You're onto something.
That way you could make it a vintage. You could say it's a vintage styled episode.
Who knew?
A retro.
Who knew I would be, my honesty would come back to haunt me. So, yes. So basically,
everybody. Yeah. Everybody in America today. No.
Great. I will say we have a new band lined up, but I don't have their music yet. I'm in the process of
contract
tracking it down, getting it, and finding them. But the Pebbles have signed up with us. And if you know the band, the Pebbles, then you should be very excited. They're awesome. I've also reached out to a
now,
couple.
Are they associated with the Bam Bams?
No, they're not. They're totally different.
Okay.
I will say the it's pretty excited. I was excited that they said yes. I've also reached out to a couple of big heavy hitters. I'm hoping that we hear back from some of them or any of them, but we'll see.
Are there any heavier hitters for you than the 5678s though?
No, that is the.
I mean, wasn't that the pinnacle for you in Asian cult music when you got their permission?
Yeah. That was it.
That was like, I'm not even sure why you bother even trying for anything else.
I know.
Well, except for the fact that you realize that you have to be a little more eclectic in an hour show.
That'd be so funny. If every week is just like, all right, we're going to take a deeper dive into 5678s this week again. It'd just be like the exact same.
This is a little bit obscure. I haven't played this for 3.5 weeks.
That's enough an oldie. 5678s. That'd be awesome. Sure. Why not? And while you bring it up, here's the 5678s.
What's the matter? What you crying for?
Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie!
I'm blue, do-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. I'm blue.
Isabel standing by the door. Look out window, I can see his shadow. In the dark, subway window, I can see. Oh, I can see. That's the station where I meet up him before. I can hear him calling my name. For the dark, with subway noise, oh, I can hear. Oh, I can hear. Oh, I'm crying. Subway train. Oh, by the door, look at the window, I can see his shadow. In the dark, subway window, I remember you. Oh, I remember you.
All right, that was 5, 6, 7, 8. So what did I even play? I can't even remember. Oh my god, my brain's gone crazy. We've been talking about. I played on Blue, Green Onions, and In the Subway. In the Subway is a very tender one. That's from Teenage Mojo Workout. Green Onions is one I always say is one of my favorites, but there's so many. On Blue is another one that I really like it quite a bit. There's a lot that I really like quite a bit. So yes. There you go. 5678's Time Bomb Records. Go check them out. Go to their they have a page. Go to the 5678's. It's going to be linked to the show. And you can buy all their new stuff. They have a new CD out. They have all kinds of stuff. They have a DVD that you can watch. They just had a release party for, well, I forget what the name of it was. Once Upon a Time, it was the DVD. I have a couple of them. So, I don't know. Yes, there we go. But we will be getting some other new bands. There's a couple on the horizon. I know the one for sure, the Pebbles, I'm going to be getting as much as I can grab up to play some new cool stuff for you guys out there. But don't worry, we'll still play Ass Fort.
That's, and 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, yes, I mean, those... and
those are staples.
And Sushi Mami Ray, and, you know, Red Bacteria Vacuum, and...
and yeah, Lulu's
Marvel. Lulu's Marvel is some of my favorites, yeah.
What's the one where they sound like they're being murdered?
The Bat.
That's the one.
Oh no! Well, there's a lot. That's most.
No,
of them.
I mean the one where the sound wave is like a block.
Oh yeah, that's the Bat.
Yeah. And it's like, ah!
You're like, why is that all red? Why? What is that?
Yeah.
That's pure awesome. So that's what it is. So yeah. And next week is a big week for me. For those of you listening at home.
Oh, that's right.
Don't know. I got ordained. I'm an ordained minister, which do with that what you will. And I'm calling my church is going to be the Intergalactic Space Council of Godzilla. And I think that's going to be the one that sticks. We'll see. I might get sued by Toei, but I don't think they can come after a church.
Yeah, it wouldn't be very good for their PR.
Intergalactic Church of Awesomeness, Godzilla style. No, I'll get a better name for that. Godzilla's going to be in there, and Intergalactic's going to be in there somehow. So
well, you know, going up to Orlando, I always passed that Mother Mary, Queen of the Universe.
Yeah,
church, and I always wondered what kind of a cult they had going on there. Turns out it's a Catholic church. But
the biggest cult of them all.
The Queen of the Universe part, though, is what threw me. It's basically a Catholic church that's established for tourists, for people that are Catholics that are out of town and need a place to worship on Sundays. But all this time, for years, I was driving by, until I finally talked to somebody who was Catholic and had been there, and they're like, "Oh, it's so beautiful inside." And I'm thinking, well, they probably get higher donations on average than typical because they're
Well, everything's more expensive in Orlando.
Well, no, but I mean,
including your God,
like you're visiting, But I mean, that's part of the church mafia thing. I shouldn't say mafia, but that's part of the Catholic structure or whatever. Yes. It's not like the other churches where you just spring up your own.
I don't know. I'm a big proponent that they should really tax churches. When I drive down the road from my work every day, and I drive home, it's like a McMullen booth,
mm-hmm.
and I'm driving past these palaces that have been built, but and they're not taxed. I was like, man, I don't know.
God's got a lot of summer homes.
He does. Either I should try and grow out my church. Yeah. That's what I should do. I don't know. So basically, the long story short is, if you remember last year when I went to Japan to attend a wedding of one of my exchange students, and it was in the Nijojo Castle in Kyoto, and it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. Well, my next exchange student, Tao, has decided to one-up them by having me conduct the ceremony. So
they're like, we're going to do it in an ancient Japanese castle. And Tao's like, take this.
So I'm hoping this doesn't keep escalating, because at some point I'm going to break fiscally or mentally if every student tries to one-up the next one, because there's five of them. I don't think that's going
to
be the case.
Well, you've only got three more to go. How bad could it be?
Well, I'd be...
That was me getting... mid-word, I was about to say get, and then I changed it, so it came out gi.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, I've just been ordained, so that'll tell you how far I'll go, because there's not one iota of me that is that thing, but I am that now. So look for a new shirt from Daddy O Screen Printing that says, I will marry anything to anything for $39.95.
Now, from the...
it's going to be my new shirt.
What is it? What's your church called?
The Intergalactic Council of Space Godzilla. Something like that. I don't know. I've changed it three times so far.
You need to get business cards.
You know what I'm going to get? My church is going to have those glittery stickers. Instead of a business card, it's going to be a business sticker. And it's going to be like the glittery ones from the 70s.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's
going
to be pretty righteous. My church is going to be huge with skateboarders. Look at that cool sticker.
And people with old broken down cars that they choose to hide the bad paint, the peeling paint on with stickers.
Oh, wait, I got a story. We're going to go to some music and then we come back. I just remember. Well, no, you can do it beforehand. I'm driving down and I got cut off by an old, one of those old Gitterdun trucks,
mm-hmm.
the ones that have had a hard life and they've been lifted and then,
inspiration for Mater, and then
then things fall off him.
Yeah,
it had a sticker that said, Trump's my president, get over it. And then they cut me off and they turned into one of those pay by the week mobile homes. And I thought to myself, what does that guy have in common with that guy? There's not
how are you thinking he's one of you type
how,
of
how you how's he speaking for you? The guy that has grown up with a gold spoon in his mouth and you're kind of just getting by, probably. I don't know, maybe he was rich and just didn't want to flaunt it, but I don't think that was the case, because the rebel flag on the other side told me different.
Well,
and it was one of those things where I was like, And again, I'm not going to talk about politics because it brings out the worst in me. But I'm like, how is that guy? How are you associating with him? Like,
well, I'll tell you my opinion on that situation. Yeah. Is I think there is a large segment of our population that feels like modern politics have left them behind, that they are not the people that politicians speak to or about when they talk about improving things in the world or improving things in our country or
me.
I mean, the reality is, like people like you and me, though, I'll say, you know, things could be better, but they could also be a lot worse. Like we feel like we're struggling a little, but by our parents' standards, we're not. We have smartphones. You got, you know,
electric's always on.
Yeah, you got a home. You got a decent newish car. You know, like. Things could always be better, but we're not bad off, you know?
Yeah.
And even in our rough times in adulthood, it hasn't been that bad. But there's a segment of the population that is like us, but not like us.
Mm.
And, you know, and I think these people, you know, have seen our last several presidents, you know, talk about things and how they're going to do things. And they feel like, well, I'm not really myself in a better position than a lot of the people that they're interested in helping. You want to allow, you know, immigrants to come into our country because wherever they're coming from in the world, whether they're people crossing the border illegally from Mexico or
whatever,
or refugees from Europe and stuff. And they're thinking, these are the people I'm competing for a job with. They may not be the people you and I are competing for a job with, but for that guy, they pose a real existential threat to him.
Hmm.
And you don't hear politicians talking about making life better for him. You hear politicians making life better for the people that they plan to have replace him.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And while Trump obviously isn't going to really make life better for him, he at least spoke to him. You know, like his shtick went to him. Like Hillary Clinton went on the road and called people like him a deplorable. So he hated.
Some of those votes.
Trump turns around and says, you know, I support you. We're going to make it better for you. And of course, Trump is telling him the same crap that Hillary Clinton was telling all the people that she's not really going to. She wouldn't have really helped.
It's all the same stuff. It's all the same lies. It's irrelevant.
But the point is, though, is that he actually had somebody that was pandering to him for a change.
Gotcha.
And therefore, even though the promises can't come true and probably, you know, he's not going to get what he wants.
Throw a dime into the wishing well and hope for the best.
That's the one that tried to get his vote. So
see, that makes sense because I couldn't wrap my head around because I have nothing in common with that guy.
Yeah.
Hell, I have nothing in common with Bill Clinton, and he was the most almost like me in the history of presidents. And I was like, well, the reality is these guys have.
You don't even own a saxophone. What are you talking about?
They've been groomed for it. They've been built for that. You know, and I was like, well, I have nothing in common with any of these jerks, but I don't have a dog in any of the fights, really, you know. Yeah. So
for the record, I'm not saying, you know, I'm intentionally not taking a political position of my own in all of this, but I will say that I think in all politics at that level, there's a ton of pandering. And I think in the case
kissing the babies and shaking the hands.
And telling certain people how you're going to make their lives better, how you're going to be the one that does it. I think Trump just hit on a segment of the population that at this point in history has not had anybody kiss their butts attempting to get elected for quite a while.
It worked. So, okay.
So it worked.
Who am I to say?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's not politics. Here's music. I think I'm going to play some Screamcore The Bat. Because you just talked about him, and now I'm like, oh, I want to wreck the meter. And we'll be right back.
Well, Sinead O'Rebellion. Shock me, shock me, shock me with that deviant behavior.
That is so clever. I swear to God, you get smarter the shorter your skirt gets.
Hey! 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 H It's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Oh, nothing's ever a waste of time. That was The Bat from the official The Bat, The Bat Club. The official The Bat Club. That's the name of the CD. I'd behoove you to go out and buy it.
Of the CD is the official The Bat Club?
Yep. And you can get it online at Time Bomb Records. Free plug for them. They're not paying me, but I dig them.
You could just put your ear up to a power drill and turn it on.
Either one is good, but it won't have that same tone.
That's true.
I played I'm Gonna Kill My Baby Tonight, Hump, Summertime Blues, and Jailhouse Rock.
I kid. You know, they let us use their music. It's not to my taste, but to each their own.
I'm sure.
They love you.
I'm sure when you hear the Summertime Blues, it sounds just like the reminiscence you heard from your parents back in the 50s and 60s.
It sounds like pretty much everything else they say. But
awesome. Pure awesome, yeah. Like I said. Hey, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
We had an interesting conversation you started, but then I said stop talking and let's do this on air.
Yes.
What have we got going on? What's the important news?
Oh, yeah. So I think it was yesterday. Senate actually passed a bill to save net neutrality.
See how I said we're not going to talk about politics and it's all about politics? Welcome to Saki Politics a Go-Go.
This is politics, though, that actually matters in
it
our country.
It's
near and dear to our hearts because the changes that the I can't use those words because this is a broadcast show. The spineless jellyfish sellout head of the FCC.
Wow.
I had something much more colorful in mind, but we'll go
space
with that.
Space octopus.
Yes.
For understanding that, listen to our last show.
If you want to be on the in, if you want to be in the know and on the inside of the jokes, yeah, you have to listen to both hours. We should tease something for next week. Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to do that. Go ahead, just keep talking.
They're like, you barely have us not fast-forwarding to get to the Japanese music now. If you think we're going to listen to an hour that doesn't include that, yeah, no.
Just keep talking, microphone monkey.
So anyway, the current head of the FCC, who seems hell-bent on getting rid of net neutrality, as a matter of fact, even trying to pass a bill that says something like preserve internet free, like the bill sounds... Like, if you don't know what it is, it sounds like they're giving us what we need to keep the internet as it is.
Did Bizarro Superman write it?
Yeah, kind of, basically. Basically. But essentially, it's a bill that would basically give complete control over the internet to the internet service providers. That would mean that your cable operator would be able to selectively slow down the traffic from sites that they chose not to send to you as quickly. For a price, they'd be able to speed up traffic for others, or for content that they own themselves. This has been one of the big things, especially with the cable companies, as they're losing cord cutters. And they're being seen more and more as just a conduit to which people get their content from someone else that they're not getting a piece of. Personally, I think the money I pay every month for my internet access should cover what they're giving me.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they have different feelings about that. And when you look at other countries where they don't have these kinds of freedoms, you can see exactly what's happened. And in South America, I want to say I don't remember if it was Colombia or Venezuela. One of them, they have packages, and there's the social media package, which gives you access to Facebook and like four or five websites for a certain price.
We must fight to
kill
this.
And then there's the video package that gives you like access to Netflix or whatever. And you can bundle those packages to get something like, sort of like the whole internet.
Like the cable.
Exactly. But they actually have the right, they would have the right to actually block websites completely, both ones that had illegal content as well as content that they may not agree with. For instance, a website where people are speaking out against the things the cable companies are doing to affect internet, like a lot of bad stuff. And basically, the only deal is that they have to be quote unquote transparent about it, meaning they have to tell you they're doing it. But you know, the funny thing the funny thing about a monopoly is they can tell you what they're doing, but when you really have no option to go with a different provider, you can't really do anything about it. And like where I live, for instance, because I'm in a controlled community, I have one internet service provider. That's it. You know, they'd have to run lines to where I live.
$20 billion.
And they won't do that because it's a group contract. So and there's lots of areas like that, not to mention in many parts of the country there are two or fewer ISPs to choose from, even when you're not in a deed restricted neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah.
So you know, like a lot of bad crap. And this is something that they've been trying to do for years. And the last head of the FCC actually passed a law, basically put into law that cable operators would be treated like a utility. So just like a water company or a power company, they were essentially the pipes that brought the content from somebody else into your home. And yep. As such, they had no control over what that content was or how it came through. The ISPs were still free to strike deals that gave more direct access to their connections. Like companies like Netflix and HBO and stuff, they all pay for more prime access to their servers, which gives them a better streaming throughput. But right. In terms of the actual content coming through, they can't slow anything down. They can't speed anything up once it's on their network. And everything has to be treated as equal. And there was a lot of concern because that guy had ties to the cable industry. And there was a lot of concern that they would go the wrong way with that. And they didn't. They, you know, by stroke of miracle, it was put into law that it would be treated that way. And
but then cable had his legs broken. And then a new guy took over.
Well, basically. And this new guy is hell-bent. And not even
he
trying.
He hates freedom. I mean, he hates you.
This has been covered so much in the news about how much public discourse there was and how 3 out of 4 Americans have said, you know, that they do not want this. And I'm guessing that fourth one is probably a lobbyist, you know, in Washington. Like, it can't be any clearer that the will of the people is a complete 180 from the way this is happening. Yeah. And the only way to stop this was to actually make it go through Congress, because the reason that they are able to flip it is because the FCC was able to do a simple vote, which was like, I think it came down to like 5-4. It was close to tied, you know. And the people who voted against it were strongly against it. It's not like this was like a
no.
Like it seems like everybody involved knows this is bad.
I even knew about it, and I don't care about nothing. You know, I was like, oh my god, this is people really don't want this. This is really a big deal.
A bill to save the open internet, though, actually passed the Senate. They got enough bipartisan support to get it past the Senate. It has to make it past the House of Representatives to happen,
which they think would might be
which is possible. Because in the Senate, it couldn't obviously, you know, given the current political climate, you have a very group think mentality and a very tribal mentality. So the Democrats all kind of go one way, Republicans kind of all go to the other,
and it doesn't really matter
what the issue is specifically. You know, it's like you're either on board or you're not. But in this case, you know, obviously it was the Democrat side that went for this, and there were enough Republicans that realized, you know, this is the future of a lot of things in our country, and we have to be careful with it. And they went along with it. They got enough to do it. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't think it was going to happen. But so I'm optimistic on the other side of it. The other thing we may have going for us is that this is an election year for Congress. So given that 75% of the country is not just thinking it's kind of a bad idea for this to go away, they're like, angsty, like this. Yeah. This could actually be the hot button political issue.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how did you vote on this?
I would hope that they do the right thing. I don't have very much faith in any of it anymore. You know, I'm just trying to sit back and figure out how there's still cable companies.
Well, somebody's got to run that line. That costs money, you know.
I honestly,
the reason I think the cable companies exist is because their legacy. You know, if they were all starting from scratch today, I don't think any communities would sign the kind of deals those cable companies got back in the 70s and 80s when they were building out.
And well, the thing is that
they got that right. They got that head start, though, which
I loved cable.
Entrenched them.
I loved cable back when it was $43 a month.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm not paying no $130 for freaking TV. It's all the same garbage anyway. Like that. Like
yeah,
that's the thing.
Because back then it was actually scripted programming too.
Well, it was
like 90% of it wasn't
reality,
you know,
crap.
That doesn't even, you know, they're like, oh, we don't have to worry about strikes because our producers aren't technically writers.
So it's, I mean, like they, to me, cable companies, they're the reason they priced themselves out. They've done this, you know. It's not. Now,
there's a reason their customers hate them. I mean,
when I was paying whatever I was a month, and maybe 43 wasn't.
Oh, that's
right.
You cut the cord.
Oh, long ago, yeah. And I know I don't even.
For our listeners, that's relevant information.
I don't miss it one bit because I don't care. And to be honest, I just watch B movies anyway. All right, here's some music that's not talky talk.
He hates these cans. Stay away from the cans.
All right, that was Petty Buka. I'm going to take it back a little bit, man. Mellow stuff out a little bit, yeah.
Please tell me perhaps it was in there.
No, I broke the mold. I played Shoujo G, The Hungry Raccoon, Koi Wa Melange.
Apparently half of Asia does, too.
Yeah, I know everyone does it. Yeah. And then Tokyo Dopoma Musumi. I'm sorry, Japan, for destroying your language, but I destroy the English language on my defense, so, you know, don't take it too personally. So, yeah, that was Petty Buka. I wanted to play Perhaps, and I was like, every time I play Petty Buka, I drop that, and I was like, let's try and move away just one time.
Yeah.
Now, next week, I'll play that for the whole hour. I'll just play that song over and over again, and you'll not listen.
You know, it's funny. I don't know what just made, well, I do know what made me think of this. We're talking about Japan.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's over there right now, and
cool.
And she's in Tokyo, and she actually sent a video. I don't have it anymore, but she sent a video. She was like just walking around out there, and they had guys doing. I think it was called dog fluffing. It was like they were doing like the cuts they do on poodles, like the French poodle style. You know, the like the old 60s style where they look like topiary. On the side of the street, like they were up against a building and they had a whole setup.
That's awesome.
And they were just like doing this to people, and there were like people lined up waiting to get their dogs cut. And she was just like losing her crap watching this because it was bizarre. I mean, she thought it was the cutest thing ever, and I'm looking at this thinking this is the weirdest thing.
And
everybody looks. There's no irony in any of it. Everybody is like dead serious. These guys are look like the epitome of professionalism on their knees doing this thing to these dogs on this.
Yeah,
little platform just on the side of the street, like a vendor.
Yeah, you know, one of the things when I was walking around, because I did a lot of walking around in Japan, I was thinking to myself, you know, if I lived there, I would see if this would fly. I would set up a little place along a major play, along a major road or a major area,
major award,
and I would have a 10 yen bike tune-up because. They all ride bikes. Not all. Many ride bikes.
But 10 yen's not very much money, is it?
No, it isn't. Like, but that's the thing. They all ride bikes, and they're all in disrepair. And with a chain clean, make the tires thing, align everything, it would take 3 to 5 minutes. And their thing would run. It would ride perfectly.
But isn't like decent yen like 1,000 or something? I mean, like, aren't they like a 10 multiplier?
Oh, no. I meant like... $5 to $10 is what
okay,
I mean.
Okay. I'm thinking, isn't 10 yen like 20 cents or
no,
something?
No, I went one. I meant.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, for $7, they pull in, literally stand there, and you put it up on a stand, do the chain, do the things, make sure everything switches, pump the tires up, drop it down, wipe it down, take your money, and they would literally be like.
Zooming away.
That would be. You'd make $1 billion.
See, the way you were first describing that, I'm thinking, like, I don't know a whole lot about our exchange rate with them, but I'm not sure there's enough hours of the day for you to make enough money, even if you do get every customer.
And it would be popular. Something like that would be popular because bikes don't work right. And
if you wore a robot costume while you did it?
Dude, then that would be... Then you'd never be able to... I could never sleep. You'd just be a billionaire.
Yeah.
You'd
be a robot doing it, so you wouldn't have to.
That'd be the best. All right, I think that's enough nonsense for this week, to be honest with you. And if you heard that idea and you're in Japan, patent pending, intergalactic Godzilla Church of
Bike. He can marry bike you, too, repair, while, while he's repairing your bike.
Anyway, my name is Mal.
Bike repair in chapel, at street chapel, yes. Promi.
We hope you've enjoyed our dumbness, and I guarantee next week will be a lot less politics, because I feel uncomfortable even talking about it in any way. But I will... probably play a lot more angry music. And I will try and find some pebbles for next week, I promise. And no Bam Bam, just pebbles. All right, that's it. You got anything else?
Yeah, we're
cashing in our chips. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week for more Saki Bama Go-Go. Oh, great. Dang it. Go to, there's a new site. Go to Simple Radio app. That's where you're going to find all of our music. All of Radio St. Pete is now on...
We probably should have mentioned that in the last show.
I know. I'm so bad.
Well, you know, it's bad on them if they didn't listen to both episodes, you know, both shows back-to-back.
Okay, we got
the power of our asterisk.
See you next week, everyone.